This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And here are headlines from some of the stories we're following today at NPR News. President Obama laid out plans to fight the recession today in a speech at Georgetown University. He said there has been some economic progress, but warned Americans that by no means are we out of the woods. And the Environmental Protection Agency hosted its first ever summit on bed bugs. Over the past decade, bed bugs have crawled back into America's living spaces with a vengeance. Details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on Talk of the Nation from on All Things Considered. You're listening to Talk of the Nation now. That's on All Things Considered later today from NPR News. When you read about outsourcing, you might think about tech support or a call center. Well, how about term papers? Paying a ringer to do your homework may be nothing new, but web-based essay mills are globalizing the business of cheating, sending student requests for customized academic essays to the Philippines, India, and Nigeria. These are originals, so they can bypass most plagiarism detectors, and the middlemen are almost impossible to find. A reporter on the plagiarism beat for the Chronicle of Higher Education joins us in a moment, but if you wrote papers for online essay mills, or bought one, or if you're a professor who's seen such papers land on his or her desk, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Tom Bartlett is a senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. He joins us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on the program today, Tom.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
And in the old days, you might find an essay mill in the back room of the college bookstore somewhere downtown, but this is a little different.
Exactly. So this is all online. And I mean, you were right. I mean, these aren't anything new. But what's new about them is how sophisticated they are and how global they've become, really.
And you, in fact, went on one of these websites and looked at the inner workings, and you could see that somebody could say, you know, you would see, well, tell us what you saw.
Well, I mean, what we really saw, I took a look at one particular essay mill, and there are a bunch of them out there. And this particular company is claims to be based in Virginia. It's actually based in the Philippines. It's run by people in the Ukraine, and most of its writers are in India and Pakistan. So it's a very global business. And each semester they have thousands of students who put in orders for, as you said, custom essays. These are essays written, you know, original essays, not essays from a database.
So the ones from the database, those can be checked. Everybody knows about those, and it's not so easy to get away with them anymore.
Exactly. I mean, colleges have gotten wise to that. I mean, in the earlier days of the internet, students would go on and could, you know, pay for a particular paper. But now colleges use software like Turnitin.com, and those can detect those papers. These papers, in theory, are original, and so there's no sort of easy technological way to figure out the students are cheating.
And one of the examples you gave was a student who wanted a dissertation for a course on, you know, aerospace engineering at MIT.
Exactly. I mean, when people think of essay mills, I think they just think of, you know, freshmen who are struggling to write that paper on Emily Dickinson or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Walden and an American Experience.
And you know, and so, I mean, that's cheating too. But, I mean, I also saw lots of graduate students who are, you know, would-be aerospace engineers, students who are, you know, going to be nurses, law students. I mean, really kind of across the board. And, I mean, that was a little surprising and, I think, concerning.
And it was interesting to me how you sort of ran into a wall when you confronted the institutions, MIT for one, about this process. And they said, they didn't say very much, in fact.
They weren't anxious to engage on this or, in all honesty, to look into it much further. For the most part, I found that professors and administrators don't really even know that these custom essay mills exist. And they sort of think that they're doing an effective job of fighting plagiarism by running things through software. And so I think they're not on the lookout for this kind of thing.
So this is relatively new?
It's relatively new. It's been around for a few years. Students certainly know about it, even if their professors don't.
Oh, things get around among students, don't they?
They do.
Yeah. And the cost of these?
It ranges. You can pay $10 or $15 a page or $50 or $60 a page. If you pay at that top level, you're going to get a better paper, as you might expect. So, I mean, there are students out there willing to shell out hundreds of dollars for papers.
It was interesting. Some of the people, the writers you interviewed said, hey, gee, the only problem I ran into is my papers were too good, and then the professors recognized it wasn't the students' work. And the students all said, you know, I paid for a paper, but boy, did it stink.
Right, right. And so, I mean, that's what some of the register. And there's a real there's a lot of variance. I mean, some of the papers, some of these writers writing are really not qualified, and the papers they churn out aren't very good, and in some cases they're very good. So it's a real you kind of never know what you're getting, and the companies, not surprisingly, are not honest with the in sort of revealing the quality of the writer. They talk up the qualification of the writer, and sometimes that's not the case.
But if you go to Google and type "buy an essay," well, one name in particular seems to come up a lot.
Right. So the company I looked at will come up in those first couple of hits, and it's a company called Essay Writers, and they're one of several companies out there that will provide this service.
And this was tracked down first to a house in Virginia owned by a somewhat bemused man who didn't understand why the police were coming to him and asking him about college essays.
Right. No, this is just a guy who lives out in Herndon, Virginia, and the company claimed that this was the address for their North American headquarters, and that it was a big office building and such. And in fact, it's just a very lovely three-bedroom house, and just a fake address. And he said police officers show up and other things, and he's sort of caught in the middle of this odd thing.
I can understand that. And as it turned out, the company was based in the Philippines, where indeed they did have an office building, but outside Manila.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So if you've ever written for one of these online essay mills, give us a call, 800-989-8255. If you've ever purchased anything from one of these online mills, the same number, please, or send us an email, talk@npr.org, and we'll find out about it. Let's talk with Sean. Sean with us in Las Vegas.
Hello.
Hi, Sean.
Wrong person. My name's David, and I'm in Miami, but I send my respects to Sean.
Okay, well, we thank Sean anyway, but David, what's your story?
My story is that I presently teach high school in Miami in a public school. I've taught college for over 30 years. I earned my PhD at the University of Illinois. I have never myself offered my services to the paper mills, nor have I ever availed myself of their services. But my twin brother, who earned a PhD at Michigan State University, did offer his services and earned extra money by writing papers at a fee.
So this is somebody you knew, not something you did?
Not something that I did, but my twin brother and I were fairly close, so I never agreed with that part of his career. But I just wanted to make the point that obviously the Internet has made this much easier, but we're talking about back in the 1970s, so this is a problem that has been going on for a very long time.
Yeah, as we mentioned earlier, this has been going on for a long time, just gotten a lot more sophisticated. Thanks very much, Sean. And the question of conscience, Tom Bartlett, you raised that not only with the people who write these for a living, and they all seem to say uniformly, well, I did it because I needed the money, and also with the people who bought them who said, well, you know, it was just for some initial ideas, for some initial research. I didn't actually turn these in.
That's right. And I got, I mean, the students I talked to, some were... Some said that they regretted using the service. They felt bad about it. They said this was the only time. Others weren't sure that they'd really done anything wrong.
Let's see if we get another caller on the line. And let's go now to Bob. Bob's with us from Wilmington, Delaware.
Hi. How you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I was a writer about mid to late 80s in high school. This is before the current entrepreneurial setup was going, and I just sort of did it freelance on my own.
And how much did you make?
I would charge about $10 an hour, and I would only write if somebody had something they needed to write about that of interest to me. I would write about it. If it was something boring, I wouldn't bother to take the money. And I guaranteed an A, and always got it too.
And always got an A.
Yeah, I mean there were other kids around. There were other kids selling drugs or something nastier, and I was just, selling parts of my brain, I guess.
Some might call it selling intellectual corruption.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Do you feel at all guilty about it, Bob?
No, today, no, not necessarily. I wasn't helping anybody to become an airline pilot or a doctor or anything. This was high school. So I guess I rationalize it that way. I don't say it was the right or good thing to do, but...
It's not on your resume, let's put it that way. if you could get $20 a page today, would you go back into it?
No. That was a youthful indiscretion.
Okay, Bob. Thanks very much for the call.
Okay.
Appreciate it. And in fact, you may get charged $20 a page at the lower end of the rate. You're not going to make that as a writer, are you?
You're not. I mean, the companies take take most of that. And some of these writers are only making $4 or $5 a page, especially the ones based overseas. Ones in the United States tend to make more.
I think we now found Sean in Las Vegas. Let's see if we did. Sean, is this you?
Yes.
Hi, I'm sorry we missed you earlier. Go ahead, please.
That's all right. No problem. I thought I was going to be unique when I called, that there wouldn't be so many people doing this, but I did the same thing as the last guy. I did it in college. I had a degree in philosophy, and I met some people that just didn't get it and needed me to help them with their papers, and I wrote them for them. I didn't have a set amount. I made a few hundred dollars from one guy through his semester. He got a B. I didn't guarantee what grades they would get, but apparently they did okay. And honestly, I don't feel guilty because I needed the money. And he did learn something. I tried to teach him some things. So I kind of hoped maybe I did some good. But, yeah, I did it, and I would probably do it again if I had the connections.
If you had the connections. And we're talking now about the industrialization of this process, really.
Yeah, if I had known that there were, you know, I've heard of this kind of thing, and I've heard of websites. I'd never looked into it, and I probably won't do it now because I don't like the idea of the police showing up to my door.
Okay. In fact, Tom Bartlett, according to your article, it's almost impossible. You're never going to get busted for this.
That's true enough. I mean, there are 16 states that actually have laws on the books making it a misdemeanor to run an essay mill or to work for an essay mill. Those laws, as far as I can tell, have never been enforced. The odds that anyone's ever going to catch you and that you're going to face any legal repercussions are extremely slim.
And misdemeanors typically is the maximum would be a year in prison.
And the way that those codes are written, I think they're just fines. So, yeah.
Okay, Sean, we look forward to seeing you on the street.
I may be out there. Thanks.
All right, Sean. Thanks very much for the call. We're talking about the globalization, the industrialization on the World Wide Web of essay mills with Tom Bartlett of the Chronicle for Higher Education. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Roz on the line. Roz calling from Hartford.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I'm a professor at a Hartford area university, and I stopped assigning papers at all for about 4 years because I just got so tired of this process, and it was awful. I mean, I had, of course, students a lot of times just cut and paste from websites, and that's pretty easy to catch. I've had students take enormous entire sections out of, you know, and they think you're not going to catch them, which is pretty funny because, you know, a lot of this stuff is flawless technical writing. You'd need 6 editors to, you know, to really be able to write that way. But I got so discouraged. I had to, no matter what I said to them, I would say to them at the beginning of class, look, I'm going to catch this. You're probably not going to get away with this. If you do this, you're going to fail the whole course. And I had to fail people who were just about to graduate. I had to fail people who lost scholarships because of it. And they would beg and plead and cry, you know, once they were caught. And I just got so disgusted with the process. I was catching 4 or 5 people per semester in classes that were only 25 people strong. And it was just, it's very discouraging. As someone who teaches, it's very discouraging.
Let me ask you about something that Tom wrote about in his article for the Chronicle of Higher Education. And that is that the idea that there may need to be more emphasis on professors explaining to students the importance of the process of doing individual research, doing original research. The process of doing these papers is indeed part of their education.
Yes, and I think that I do that, and believe me, the more I had to fail students, the more I did that. And I would say to them, listen, you guys, I'm much more interested in hearing what you think about this than you having a perfect research paper. And, you know, and I would try and explain to them, and I would try and, you know, explain to them what they needed to do in order to get a good grade and how much they could get out of it if they did. And, you know, it's just, there's just going to be a certain subset of students who, you know, it's worth the risk to them, or maybe they are too insecure. And here's my other thing. I wonder how much they've been programmed to do this by, you know, the way that our educational system is. You know, we're very grade-oriented. We're not very process-oriented. We're, even educationally, we're much more about getting the degree than we are about
learning.
What are you learning?
Yeah, and it does get scary. I don't know what you teach, Roz, but it gets scary when you're talking about, you know, aerospace designers, you know, or nurses.
Yes,
She makes a really good point. I mean, and one of the questions is sort of what kind of the deeper question is, what is college about? Is it about a series of sort of arbitrary obstacles on the way to a credential, or is it about something sort of deeper and more meaningful? And I think that's, to me, that's kind of the heart of it.
Roz, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go to Nick, and Nick with us from Davis in California.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I ordered an essay my last quarter at UC Davis, and I didn't really want to do it. It was kind of a more of an idea that was given to me, and I ordered the paper because I was kind of struggling, and I got a really terrible paper. However, one thing I noted that it had, like, extremely good sources from a book, and I was able to take a couple days and turn the paper around into my own wording and use some sources that I couldn't find originally myself. So I enjoyed the service, but it was a terrible paper that I would never turn in.
And how much did you get charged for it?
About $30 a page, and it was like a 5-page paper.
So that's, you didn't want to do it, but, well, even my math skills could tell me that's over $100 you paid.
Yeah, I actually ended up tracking down this company, and they weren't in the U.S. They said they were, and I argued with them for a couple weeks and ended up getting half my money back.
You got half your refund, so at least there's some consumer affairs.
Well, that happens. And Nick, I mean, does this seem just sort of on the kind of – does this feel right or wrong? Do you feel – you know, is this just a service to you, or how do you sort of feel about doing something like this?
Well, I didn't want to do it. When I had the paper in my hand printed out, I did not want to turn it into the teacher, especially my draft. I felt very uncomfortable. I actually didn't turn my draft, and I actually spent more time working on their paper than I would have spent on working on an original paper I would have written. And yes, I kind of feel bad about using the service, but I ended up changing it around so much that it was my paper.
All right, Nick. Thanks very much for the call. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And it should be pointed out that you interviewed some people who monitor these sites to say, look, some students order their copy of the paper or their assignment on the day they get the assignment. It's not like they're just struggling with this.
I think that's true. I mean, there are some people who are repeat customers who are going time and again. I've certainly seen notes on these websites from people saying, I want a writer throughout my entire degree program.
Tom, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Tom Bartlett, senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. He wrote, Cheating Goes Global as SA Mills Multiply. He joined us today here in Studio 3A. Tomorrow, it's our regular weekly visit with the political junkie. We might have a victor. At least one set of judges is convinced in Minnesota. So it'll go to the next set of judges in Minnesota. And hey, the recount goes ahead in the New York 20th. Ken Rudin will join us. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.